Okay, let's open up to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now get into the Word of God, Father, I ask that, praise God, that I be moved by Your Spirit and not by my own intellect. I pray that the ears of Your people hear and take it to heart what I share with them today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Last Sunday, I brought out four things that are very important that will help you become a success in your life. Not only this spiritual success, but also natural success. Number one, in James chapter 1, let's go to verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, it does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, again, I want to remind you about this term for religion here. Some people say, well, I don't want a spirit of religion. I don't want to be a religious person. But really, the term back then when James was writing this epistle, when a person claimed to be religious, he literally meant that he was one who is devoted and a diligent performer of the service of God in his life. Now, the meaning has changed over the course of time because you look at that word religion today and it has kind of a negative tone to it. Well, it's because we're interpreting the term religion from our viewpoint. How many got what I'm saying? So we're interpreting it from our viewpoint. But really, the term religion back there literally meant one who is devoted and is a diligent performer before the Lord. Praise God. And I believe that we all are, don't you? I believe we're a diligent performer before the Lord. Now, some of the things I want to share with you is that when you're a minister of the gospel and you share with God's people, one thing that I'm concerned about more than anything else as your pastor or as a minister to the body of Christ, that everything that we share with you, you connect with. You hear it and you connect with it. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything, but connect with it. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you haven't heard what's said, then how can you connect with it? Everything has to be connected to it. Now, what I mean by that is when you connect yourself to something, it gives it the opportunity to germinate in you and to bring forth life. Amen. And you might want to make a note of this, that one thing that coming into the kingdom of God has for us, its main purpose is for us to grow by it and to be blessed through it. And that is the heart of the Father, for us to grow and then to be blessed. That is the heart of the Father. Whether it's a spiritual thing that we're talking about or a natural thing, the heart of our Father is for you to grow and to be blessed. Amen. To produce life in your life. And sometimes life doesn't present itself very presentable. But you know what? It is God that is at work within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when we stick close to the Lord, I got news for you. You can't help but be blessed. You can't help but to grow and have life working in your life. Amen. It is so important. And the saddest thing that I see a lot of times is when I see believers come into the kingdom of God, receive the good word of God, receive it unreservedly, and then turn around and watch them not connect to the Word of God and start walking through this life, and you see everything they touch die. And that is so sad, because that is not what God has called us to. He's called us to strength and to virtue. He wants us to be successful in this life. He wants us to be successful in this natural life. Another thing that can so challenge us in our life is our own physical being, our own body. Boy, I'll tell you what, you know, the Bible is very clear, not only on the position that Satan holds, but also on the position that our body holds. And yet we overlook our own physical being as having a mind of its own, because it's so much a part of us. But you know, your body, your carnal mind, has a mind of its own. It is not the same as your inward being. It has a mind of its own. And it takes the Word of God to come with its ability to dissect you perfectly, so you understand which side is trying to control or dominate you. Because if you're led by your physical being in any form or fashion, I guarantee you, a cursing will follow. That's just the way it is. So there's four things that I wanted you to focus in on, and we're going to go into an in-depth a little bit with each one. But number one, James, the writer here, tells you that if a man thinks that he is a spiritual person, he is a very devoted person, very diligently in his walk with the Lord. The first thing James brings up, what about his tongue? Does he really have control of his tongue? Is he exercising self-control? Not only about himself, but about people. It seems like the more devoted you become to the Lord and the closer you get to Him, the first area the Lord will always get you on is your tongue. How do I know that? Well, I had to really have a revelation of that from God, because I am so perfect with mine. No, anymore, God don't cut me any slack at all. You have to be careful about your tongue. Now, the Lord shared something with me I had not seen before. But He shared something with me about confessing the Word of God. And boy, when He shared this with me, it just like something went right through me. He said that one of the things about confessing my Word, and the word confession is the Greek word homologion. Homo means the same, and logion means the word. And so when you put them together, it means a relational thing. It means coming into alignment the same as the Word of God. And that's what the word confession means. So when you say that you're going to confess the Word of God, literally what you're saying is you're going to speak and say the same thing that the Word declares. How many got what I said? Now, the Lord told me, He says, most of my people, when they come to confess the Word of God, it's mostly with a false hope. He says what they need to do is settle it within their heart. To settle it within their heart, what they believe, and then say it with their mouth. Now, I'm going to share something with you about confessing with your mouth. How many of you have gotten scriptures, and John and I have been famous for even handing out scriptures to confess? Now they have what you call promise books. How many of you got a promise book in your library? And you got all these promises and everything. And, you know, for a while there, I'd grab a hold of these promise books, and I'd find certain areas to confess them. I'd go along and confessing them, and because the scriptures fit so well with what I'm trying to confess. But finally, one day, the Lord spoke to me, and He shared something with me that might really help you. He said, when you confess scripture, He says, are you confessing it because you find the right scriptures to say, Or are you actually confessing something that has a revelation or a meaning behind it in the text? He says, nothing is more irritating to me as people throw a bunch of scripture at me, but yet are not saying what the subject or the theme of the text is saying and declaring that before me. I went, so what do you mean? Lord, give me an example. He says, well, for physical healing. He says, when you want to confess the position that your faith is going to be standing in for healing, he says, you go back into Scripture and you find in Scripture where there was a specific reason why I had to provide physical healing for you so that you could stand in that place that I have prepared for you dateless eons ago, stand in it and make a declaration that this belongs to you. Are you following me? And therefore, because I said this, therefore I'm saying the same thing that you're saying, Father, in declaring the position that you have provided for me. For an example, go over to Isaiah 53, because we're going to talk about the tongue just for a minute, and then we're going to move on. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him there is no beauty, that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Really, that's not in Isaiah, so you can forget that. But the second half of that verse is correct. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has caused it to land on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He was stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief, and when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgression. Now, it's too bad 54 is there, because as you're going on, and we could go on, it goes into even a higher step of revelation. Because Isaiah 54 is not referring to speaking just to the Jew, but he's referring to speaking to all nations being blessed as a result of Isaiah 53, what Jesus had done. He not only did it for the Jew, he did it for all nations. But I'm going to talk to you about confession now when you're confessing the Word of God. In the area of healing, I'll go to this chapter almost every day, not every day, but almost every day, and I'll begin to read it. And if I had need of healing, one thing I do is I start from the very beginning. And the first thing that I acknowledge is that when I'm reading this thing, I answer it back where my heart is. I answer it back what's being said here. Who has believed our report? Father, I believe your report. See, I settle that right away. I believe your report. And then I'll read, to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed. And I say, Father, your strength, your arm has been revealed to me. Glory to God. Are you following what I'm saying? Then it goes on to say, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And who would that be? That would be Jesus. He grew up before the Father, notice, as a tender plant. You see, I understand what it means by a tender plant. Some of you ladies that are kind of used to flowers and thing. I remember my wife one day saying, this is what brought me this round. She says, some plants are very tender. They're very, you have to handle them a special way. Remember you sharing that one time with me? Because she's into these plant things. You know, she probably don't even remember that. Boy, it struck a chord in me. But notice what it says here. It says, as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. I looked this word term up. It means a ground you would not pick to produce a harvest out of. It means a ground you would not even consider to plant anything in. I got news for you. When the Father sent His Son to planet Earth, this was not the most ideal place to send His Son. Are you following me? And He says He has sent Him as a tender plant into a ground that you would not consider a plant to grow out of. You see, I'm acknowledging in the text of what's being said, not just a scripture to be quoting, but what is the purpose for the scripture to be quoted. And then he says, he has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him, and he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and yet we did not esteem him. And I said, you know, Father, I wasn't there when Jesus walked the planet. I wasn't there when he was put on the cross. I didn't see what actually he went through. But I do know that in Scripture, when I believe the report that your Son has given, and it's transformed itself from that time period down to my time period, even though I didn't see him, even though I didn't see what he went through, I do believe and I do receive what he did for me in order to redeem me from sickness and disease. Are you following me? I'm not just quoting the scripture to get something. I'm quoting a fact out of his scriptures that says I have what I have. That is believing the report. And then I said, surely he has borne our griefs. Well, the word griefs is actually the Hebrew for sicknesses. The word born here is nasa, to lift up. And to carry away. Oh Lord, surely if I'm believing your report, he has truly performed what I needed. He has lifted it up and carried away that place of death that I don't no longer have to walk in.
It's mine. My faith will not say, I will ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above. I believe He already paid for it. My hope is in the past tense work of the completed cross. I believe it. I receive it. It is mine.
I'm going to tell you how challenged you will be when it comes to exercising your faith. Kenneth Hagin said, this is how you turn your faith loose. I'm going to tell you something. When I first read that little mini book, it challenged me. You want to know why? Because he outlines several things in there you have to do if you truly believe. So if you're confessing out of what the text literally is saying, people, the next thing you have to do is you have to act like you've got it. You have to act like you got it. The third thing Kenneth Hagin says is, you gotta make your body move. Don't cater to it. You gotta make your body move just like your tongue. I'll tell you, some of the greatest healings we've seen at this altar is when I challenge people, in spite of the pain, to stand against it. How do you stand against pain? Well, what about your back? Bend over. Well, I can't. Well, you came up for prayer. I laid hands on you. Bend over. I'll never forget, we've seen them bend over 4 times, and they almost pass out. But the 5th time down, they came up, started crying and shouting. Your body has a voice of its own. It only has central knowledge. If you let your body talk to you, you'll lose what God has provided. It's enough for the devil to talk at you, but what about your carnal mind, your body? Don't pay attention to it. Remember Kenneth Hagin said, he got up and he started going to school and on the way he was so skinny and frail and he said he just felt weak and he said with every time he went to school, he said his body started gaining strength. He started going up the stairs. He could hardly make it. But he said, as he was going up the stairs, he said he started drawing a little more strength as he was going up the stairs. And then one day, somebody came alongside him and said, well, we've been noticing you come to school. We know what you've been through. And let us carry your books. And he said, oh, okay. And he gave his books to some of his friends. And he said, he just as he was about ready to gain all the strength he needed, he started going up them stairs and they were carrying the book. And finally one day, they said, Kenneth, if there's anything we could do, we want to make sure that all your classrooms will be on the first floor. And so we're going to arrange it for all your classrooms to be on the first floor so you don't have to go up the stairs. All of a sudden, mankind is offering some occasional comforts until he is better. And it finally dawned on him, all of a sudden, instead of getting stronger going up the stairs, he's getting weaker again. All of a sudden, instead of going to school and carrying his own books, he's giving his books to somebody else. And the Lord says, you know what? Heal men don't give their books up. Heal men don't have classrooms all on one floor. They'll go up the stairs. Are you following me? He was trying to put in Kenneth Hagin's heart, if you truly have received what God has given you, then you stand against the body, don't cater to it, and make it do what it's supposed to do when it's healed. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand the pain. Have any of you ever had gout? Is it cool or what? Especially when you get in your foot. I had it in my heel one time. And I'd go to the park and I got thinking, you know what? I'd be better off just sitting in my car. Nobody's around. I can pray and talk to God while I'm sitting in my car. This heel's about ready to just fall to pieces. And it finally dawned on me,
People who are believing for healing in their heel will walk on it. I walked on that sucker 4 months. And I kept praising God. Whenever it got worse, I kept praising God. And finally, one day, I just started walking and I was gone. Sometimes we need to ignore our body. We need to plug into the Word of God and ignore the body. Now, I'm not talking about ignoring the body, meaning you wouldn't go for a checkup or ask doctors to check you up or things like that. I'm not talking about being stupid and ridiculous, but I'm talking about if mankind can't help you, but just the faith that you have in the Word of God, then where else can you turn but to trust the Word of God? I made myself walk on that heel. Finally, I got healed. I'll never forget the first time I experienced, of course, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin. I was to go to Oregon and preach and carry on meetings there. It was my first meetings, Sweet Home, Oregon. And I was so excited, and I prayed in the Holy Ghost there, and they came down with the most horrendous cold. And it was a wrong time to have a cold baby. I didn't know whether I could even go. And finally, I got to listen to one of Kenneth Hagin's tapes along the same line. He made his body do what it was supposed to do. And so I went down the dock right in the middle of cold weather and the wind blowing. I went down on the dock, and I took my coat off, and I left it in my car, and I down on the dock, and I was praising God and saying, God, I thank you for healing me. So when I go to Oregon, I just want to let you know that I'm doing just fine, and I thank you for my healing of this head cold and everything. I mean, I'm gronk, gronk, and I come home and Sue says, where have you been? I sit down in the dock. She says, well, the way you felt and everything, you shouldn't be down there. You've got meetings to go to. I said, I'm okay. I go to bed. I wake up in the morning, totally healed. Totally, completely healed. Why? God wanted me to go to that meeting. He wanted me to preach. Are you following? I wasn't going to let my body tell me what to do. Amen. Sometimes you just have to get nasty with the devil and get tough with the Word of God. Amen. So my confession now is when I get into the Word of God, I not only just confess Scripture, but I confess Scripture out of the meaning of the text that it's in. How many follow what I'm talking about? You could go on and on in this thing because he covers everything. Not only your physical healing, but your mind. Amen? Praise God. So your speech is very important. James even goes into it in chapter 3. He starts with verse 1. We're not going to go over there. But it is important how you commit your confession to yourself. Let it come out of your mouth. I'm not talking about convincing other people of your healing. I'm talking about speaking to your carnal mind and yourself. Listen, people, how many of you agree with me when somebody comes to bring you negative news, does that have an effect on you? It does every time. But the Word of God can have a positive effect on you if you go back to the Word of God in spite of what you feel in the natural. Go back to the Word of God and say it, and say it, and say it out of the meaning of the text that it comes in. It'll encourage you. It'll get over into Psalms 119. Ooh, get over there and start. Oh, what the Word will do. Whew, it's powerful. So the point number one is your speech has, watch your speech about people. If you have something negative to say about somebody, don't say it negative about somebody. Then begin to pray for them and speak positive things over them, not negative things. If you speak negative things over people, listen, it's not right. If you want to make a negative speaking to somebody, commit this to yourself. If I want to talk negative about somebody, I'll go to them first and tell them I'm gonna. And then go do it. And guess what? You'll be okay. Because then you're not hiding it from them. Amen? Of course, you wouldn't do that because he who utters his whole heart can be a fool too. So, but you know, make that to yourself. You're just gonna watch what you say and what you do. It's important.
So your tongue, James brings out the tongue as the first area that you attack. The second one is a big one, self-awareness. Avoiding self-deception. Because if a man don't know how to control his tongue, he's not going to know how to self-evaluate his own life. And we need self-evaluation. People, that is the only way God chastens us, through self-evaluation. That is the first position God takes with us, is He wants us to have a perception of where we're at, so we can make an adjustment within ourselves. See, self-deception literally means distorted perception. See, a lot of us don't have a good perception of ourselves, but other people can. Other people can have a perception of us we don't have any idea we have of ourselves. Sue, every once in a while, when we get into a disagreement or an argument, Sue would make a statement that would self-evaluate me. And finally, the Holy Spirit used that one day and said, hey, is that true or not? She said that she made the statement to me, you think you know everything. You think you're a know-it-all. Well, I, of course, I got mad at her because that's not me at all. So I went, and one day I didn't tell her this. I'm copping out now, but I went to say, well, what would prompt that in her to, for me to, her to think that way about me? And so I came from that approach. How many know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever said anything to you to hurt you? In the lines of self-evaluation? Has anybody of you had that arrows thrown at you? Then that arrow hurt? Dabbed you. Right? Self-evaluation is the hardest thing I know. Because we can't vindicate ourselves. That's what you call crazy. I know that in my self-evaluation, I know that I talk too much. But Father, you've got to understand, I'm just as much physical as I am spiritual, so you've got to grace me here. And so, put up with my more talking. Now what God does is try to cut it out. Amen? Self-evaluation is a big thing. This is in Psalms 139 where David gave his whole life story on how he succeeded with God. How he succeeded greatly with his father is the fact that he would open his heart up and say, Lord, come on in. And if there's any evil in me, let me know. That was his key to success. You see, one thing about self-awareness, a lot of us don't realize. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. This is an important area. We need to just stay camp here just a little bit. We won't go much longer, but we're going to camp here just for a little bit on self-awareness. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, let's start with, let's go to verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Now notice verse 7. This is very important that you understand this. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. When I got to verse 7, the Lord spoke to me and He told me, you will never find in the book of Proverbs, you will never find that understanding will be before wisdom. Wisdom always comes first, then understanding. So I went verse by verse and I found one area, or maybe it was two areas, where He mentioned understanding, then wisdom followed. But those two areas is that understanding was being explained this way. Wisdom comes first, then understanding. So in the setting, it was putting wisdom still before understanding. How many got it? But all of the other times it's mentioned in Proverbs, wisdom is always before understanding. How many of you know that Carlton Pearson had been marked? And he's into universalism. Well, he actually is now in spiritual death. How did he get that way? Well, first of all, he understood wisdom, the principal thing. He understood the principal thing, but he didn't have the understanding of it. See, wisdom is the principal thing. It literally means it's there. It's a knowledge that has been placed there about something. But what understanding does is understanding tells you why the wisdom is there. So when you get into Proverbs and you're reading about wisdom and then understanding, it's saying this is why wisdom is there, but it takes understanding for you to keep it. Because you see, understanding tells you how wisdom functions. How it's understanding is what establishes you in wisdom. You can have wisdom, but if you don't have understanding that goes with the wisdom, you'll never be stable. You'll have wisdom, but you'll float until you get the understanding. Because the Bible in Proverbs says understanding is what stabilizes you. Understanding is what fixes your heart and keeps it from moving. Because you know why that wisdom, that principal thing, was placed there. Because in understanding, you know how it works. See, if Carlton Pearson, who had the wisdom of Christ, if he understood or had the understanding of what? Of the principles of wisdom, which is Christ, he would not have gone into the doctrine that he's going into. Because, see, he didn't know how to establish himself in the principle of wisdom, which is Christ. You guys hearing me? But once a person gets the understanding of why wisdom is what it is, see, then that'll stabilize you. That'll put your heart fixed. That'll make your heart be fixed. It'll make you solid. You won't be moved. That's what the Word of God does. The principal wisdom of the Word of God comes. But listen, understanding causes the seed of wisdom to what? Germinate in you. Causes the roots to come out and settle in your soil. So you cannot be moved from it.
Amen.
See. And so, when he says in Proverbs 4 here, he says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Well, the principal thing is what is first in place. But insight is what is vital. It is the foresight so you will never err.
Yes.
It is the foresight you will never err in.
Yes.
And he settles that. And now follow me. He says in verse 18, of Proverbs 4, but the path of the just is like shining sun. Actually, in the Hebrew, it's light. That shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. You know something? When self-evaluating my life, if I have a repeat in my life from one year to the next, I have to stop and look at the fruit on my own branch. Because I'm repeating the very same thing that I'm still bearing the fruit of. Hello? And if I don't want to bear that fruit, then I gotta what? I gotta prune something. So I don't bear it again. See, because I'm not growing and I'm not changing and it's not giving me life, what do I gotta do? I gotta look back at the fruit of my own tree and find out why I'm still bearing that fruit. What we like to do is play a con game with God. God, where are you leading me? What is your problem, God? I'm so willing. And God's willing too. He just don't have willing subjects to will with. See, a lot of us behave ourselves into a situation. We behave ourselves right into a catastrophe and cry out, God! God will say, well, I'd like to help that boy, but he can't get to self-evaluation because even if I bail him out, he'll evaluate himself right back into that thing again. But here it says, the path of the just gets brighter, but the way of the wicked gets darker. You know, we ought to get a clue going down a road. If it gets darker and we start stumbling, we ought to get a clue. We're going down the wrong road. Anybody got an idea about that? Hey, where'd the sun go? But if we're going down a road and it's a little dim at first, but it keeps getting brighter and brighter, you know what that's a sign of? You're in the right direction. He says, look at this. They do not know what makes them stumble. Why? Self-evaluation. My son, here goes. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings and do not let them depart from your eyes. I like this word, incline. In the Hebrew, this word literally means do everything in your power to stretch yourself to hear it. To hear it. At every opportunity. And notice, do not let them depart. That means to turn aside at the first opportunity to lose interest. That's what that word depart means. To turn aside at the first opportunity to lose interest. Some of us are professionals at that. We'll find an excuse to turn aside and not to... You know, before I became a pastor, I thought it was very interesting when I would go to church and I would sit in the pew and I'd hear the pastor preach a sermon. I knew Uncle Eddie needed to be here to hear this. I knew Eddie needed to be here. I knew it. So if Eddie was here to hear this, gee, this is the ideal sermon. How many of you ever run across that in your... You want to know why? Because Eddie is sharp at missing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Sharp. He's sharp as tack. Wakes up one morning, and all of a sudden, the park looks far greater. After all, we need more family time. Shut up, Janet. I've gone to church. Soon I've gone to church. We missed a few. Gone to church, sit down. And every time somebody would come up to it, do you know what happened last Sunday? We had a move of God. Oh, you did? Yeah. It was powerful. Or have you gone to church and somebody say, hey, where have you been? Did you hear what the pastor preached last week? No, I'll get the cassette. You know how many times I got the cassette tape? The cassettes were little reel-to-reel things before CDs. You know how many times I got this cassette to listen to the message of the service? Zippo. I never did. I said I was gonna, never gonna. Well, it's because we got to thinking that church is not a place to hear the Word of God. It's a place of socialization. It's where we go to listen to the Holy Ghost. Incline your ear to my saying and do not let them depart from your eye. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Notice this. Keep them in the midst of your heart. This is a very interesting word. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You know what the word midst means in the midst? It's like the center of something. You know, right in the center of something. How many of you? That's not what this word means. This word midst here literally means to sever. To sever your heart. It refers to when the Word of God comes, it comes as a knife to literally extract what should not be in your heart. Do you know that your heart is the core value of what you are? And did you know that if that's true, what is in your heart that could be opposed to the Word of God? Have you ever thought about that? Because, you know, I've seen people struggle with their faith and not getting the results they want, but their core value of what was in their heart, the Word of God, could not sever or remove something that was in their heart that needed to be removed for their faith to work. Ouch. This is too much responsibility. Let's go someplace where sovereignty is taught. Throw it all on God. God didn't intend for you to do that. You're in a fallen world, living in a fallen body, and God has something greater for you to live by. He wants to give you long life. He wants to promise you everything that you desire in your heart, whether it's natural or spiritual. You just got to pick up and get a clue that God is for us and not against us. So what is in your heart? Is the core values in your heart? What is the spirit of your mind? Some people don't even know the attitude that their own mind has because the Word of God hasn't gotten into their attitude of their thinking. The spirit of your mind, you've got to have it changed. So you've got to be able to take the Word of God and sever your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The word life here, they are life to those who find. What sustains a person is your heart. That's what sustains you. We'll stop there. We'll stop there. Father, I thank you that as we get into understanding these four areas for our life, that, Father, it will become life to us. It will become life to us. It will become life to us and not death. Father, I stretch myself for the sake of your people to stand for themselves between this world and you. Father, I thank you for the opportunity of your word. Father, you will never disappoint us. You will always, always see to it that, Father, our faith will prevail if we let it. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we have wonderful people here in this house today. We have wonderful fathers, wonderful mothers, wonderful children. Father, let us all this year look forward to a prosperous year. Let us all look forward to a miraculous year. Let us all look forward to a year of growth and change. Father, and may our ground be very fruitful and produce good things for our life. Forgetting those things that are behind, Father, we all here press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ and what we've been apprehended for. Do I hear an amen for that? Amen. So before we close, if there be anybody here that has never given their heart and life to Jesus and would like to, we would love to pray for you and lead you right into the kingdom of God. There are those of you here that have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with that wonderful language that comes from above. It is a language that can build our faith. It is a language of our inner man speaking to you, Father. Hallelujah. So when we dismiss this service, if anybody would like to come forward for salvation or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I will wait here for you. If you're visiting and you're here just for the first time and would like to go back and meet with me and have questions, we have a hospitality room in the back. It's to my left in the back. Just go there and someone will escort you into the hospitality room. Hallelujah. Well, how many of you received something today? Amen. Those of you who would like prayer for physical healing, we'll have John Duclos come up. And he would love to pray with you. John, are you here?
Yes,
he's in the back. John, why don't you start making your way up here? And those of you that would like prayer, let John lay hands on you. Matter of fact, he just got a report from Mongolia. Do you guys remember him sharing about that little skinny girl that looked, she was dying of malnutrition? And she was all healed.
Praise God.
So I thought that was powerful. So God uses John mightily. It just sometimes when he lays hands on people, they got to be willing to receive. Amen. But John Duclos is ready to pray. Father, I thank you for these beautiful people as they send them this way for this Father's Day. Man, God convict the mothers to be really good on their husbands today. In Jesus' name, amen.